In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This Mass of the Ascension of the Lord is offered for the intentions of the most lost souls. The lesson for today's Mass comes from the Acts of the Apostles. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and teach until the day which, giving the commandments by the Holy Ghost, the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up. To whom he also showed himself to be alive after his passion, by many proofs for 40 days speaking to them, and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. They therefore, who were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or the moments which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and even unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up unto heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you to heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. Thus concludes the lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. At length he appeared to the 11, and they were at table, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and they shall drink, if they should drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they, going forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working withal and confirming the word with the signs that followed. This concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. You may be seated. We've arrived today at this beautiful moment of the ascension of our Lord into heaven. And one of the great things that I love so much about this particular Mass, I do apologize for starting to do a high Mass there with the singing and everything like that. I apologize for that. It caught me off guard. I just was really excited, so apologize for that. I didn't want to lengthen the Mass by making the whole thing the sung Mass all of a sudden when you're not expecting it. But today, as we enter into it, one of the things that I look forward to most is one of the small things that it's really, most people would say, not would seem that not significant about this particular liturgy, is what you saw happen just before the Gospel. Right after the Gospel, before you heard the Gospel in the vernacular. And that is the extinguishing of the Paschal candle. For 40 days now, this candle has burnt brightly throughout every liturgy that we've had, even every paraliturgy. Every time we've come to adore the Blessed Sacrament, the candle has been lit burning bright. And the candle, that there which we have sung on the Easter Vigil, that beautiful 10-minute hymn of the Exalted, singing about the beauty of this light burning bright. Oh, this night which is greater than all other nights. This candle which was formed by Mother Bees, giving their greatness of their gift which is there. And so it stands here erect as the Christ candle, a symbol of Christ himself. And so as it is burning before us, it was the continual reminder that he is with us, that he is present, that he is giving his life unto a shining brightness into the darkness of whatever evil is clouding your vision and mine, that he is our focus. And that's what the candle reminds you and I of, that beautiful Paschal taper which towers so high above us, which has been reduced in size through many burnings. Now it's extinguished. And it's extinguished in the middle of the liturgy. And it's extinguished at the point of the liturgy where our Lord himself ascends into heaven. Symbolism is very clear, is it not? He's not with us. He's gone. He's departed. And so he being gone, departed, no longer with us, so it leaves you and I without what I've just been speaking of. The light of Christ is gone. The shining into the darkness has departed. He has been hidden by a cloud, and as you saw, as the extinguisher was put upon there, you saw a cloud that removed the sight of the candle, of the bright burning light from you and I, just as we see here within the Gospel. All these things are in symbol for you and I to enter all the more readily into the reality of what has happened. And so what do we do? Just as was spoken about in the gospel today, you and I spend our time now, just as our Lord said, to remain in Jerusalem, to remain in the city where of the great king, to remain with our Lord, to remain in vigil and in prayer, waiting upon the gift which was promised by the Savior, petitioning him. So what do we begin today? We begin today the novena of the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to pour out his sevenfold gifts anew upon the church, to begin this great gift of Pentecost within us. The ninth day of this novena is the day on which ordinations take place. Here within the Archdiocese, we will be ordaining 4 men to the sacred priesthood of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ forever, that he will empower these 4 men to be his alter Christi, his other Christ within the world, to bring all the greatness of the sacraments and to really be Christ redi vivus, Christ revivified, living again among you and me. So to pray for those men, that they, not just we here within our parish, but that they who are preparing to receive this new charism of God, this new gift of him, this total change of their entire aspect, so that they may receive it well and be worthy of living out that high call. One man will be to the transitional diaconate as well. So the 5 will be ordained in the Cathedral Basilica of St. Francis 9 days from today. Include them within the novena which we pray. We'll pray the novena of the Holy Spirit at the conclusion of this Mass instead of our normal prayer which we pray at the end of each one of these beautiful traditional Masses. Now, rather than leaving you merely with my incompetent words here, as I've already shared them with you at this point, I wish to give you something of the Church. What does the Church say particularly about this feast day? I'll just read you this meditation. It's not long, but it's quite beautiful. Something from a great spiritual writer, and then finally something from St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, whose feast day I believe was either yesterday or it is tomorrow. I can't remember. It's one of those, somewhere in there. Great saint. The central idea to this liturgy today, says our author, is the raising up of our hearts toward heaven, so that we may begin to dwell in spirit where Jesus has gone before us. Christ's ascension, says St. Leo the Great, is our own ascension. Our body has the hope of one day being where its glorious head has preceded it. In fact, our Lord had already said in his discourse that after the Last Supper, quote, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I shall go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you unto myself, that where I am, you also may be. Words from John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. The ascension is then the feast of joyful hope, a sweet foretaste of heaven. By going to where Jesus, our head, has been given us, is the right to follow him there someday. And we can even say with St. Leo the Great, quote, in the person of Christ, we have penetrated the heights of heaven, end quotation. As in Christ crucified, we die to sin. As in the risen Christ, we rise up to the life of grace. So too, we are raised up to heaven in the very ascension of Christ. This vital participation in Christ's mysteries is the essential consequence of our incorporation into him. He is our head, and we, as his members, are totally dependent upon him and intimately bound to his destiny. As St. Paul writes, quote, God, who is rich in mercy, for his exceeding charity, wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up, and hath made us to sit together in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. Words taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. Our right, is to heaven. To be there has been granted us. Our place is already ready. It is for us to live in such a way that we may occupy it someday. Yet meanwhile, we must actualize the beautiful prayer that the liturgy puts upon our lips, saying, quote, grant, O Almighty God, that we too may dwell in spirit in heavenly mansions. From the opening prayer of today's Mass. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, where thy treasure is, there also is thy heart. Jesus said, one day, if Jesus really is our treasure, then our heart cannot be anywhere but with him in heaven. And this is the great hope of the Christian soul, so beautifully expressed in the hymn that we recite this evening for Vespers, quote, O Jesus, be the hope of our hearts, our joy in sorrow, the sweet fruit of our life. Now a short word from St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi. Let this be the prayer of your own soul. O my God, O my Jesus, you're going away and leaving us. Oh, what joy there will be in heaven. But we have to remain here on earth. O eternal word, what has your creature done for you, that you should do so much for him and then to ascend into heavenly glory forevermore? Tell me, what has he done for you, that you should love him so much, What has he given you? What do you look for in him? You love him so much that you gave yourself to him. You who are all things and besides whom there is nothing. You want from him his entire will and intellect, because when he gives them to you, he gives you all that he has. O infinite wisdom, O supreme good, O love so little known, so little loved, and possessed by so few. O our ingratitude, cause of every evil. O purity so little known and so little desired. O my spouse, now that you are in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Eternal Father, create in me a pure heart. To repeat, O my spouse, now that you are in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Eternal Father, create in me a pure heart, and renew within me your right spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.